You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes from the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Wednesday, June 23rd in the year 2021. And no matter if you're watching us on YouTube or if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes a part of your day. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lineup for today in segment two, Brandon Simberg from BustingBrackets.com will be joining us to talk about how Junior, Dwayne Washington Jr., and EJ Liddell looked at the G League Elite Camp segment three, talking about a former Buckeye that will be competing in this year's Olympic Games. We begin today's show talking about signs that are leading to a transfer moving from his former school to Columbus. That is correct. Palei Neotioti. I practiced that quite a bit. Pretty impressive. It came out clearly, correctly the first time around. Palei Neotioti. That name might be foreign to you. He is the fourth. PG the fourth. I might use that nickname here for quite a long time. He is a linebacker that decided to transfer from USC during this past season, and it has been rumored, talked about, a lot of speculation about this young man going from Southern California to Columbus in the offseason. But it's June. Recruiting is very, very big. Why in the world would this be happening right now? Well, as we all know, when it comes to recruits, when it comes to you making a decision about your future, it might take you a while to make a decision in regards to what you're going through, what it is that you're going to be doing on a consistent basis, and you want to make the right move for you in your career. Now, Palei Neotioti, he is the cousin of Haskell Garrett, which I'm sure has been very vital into possibly being the reason that Neotioti decides to make the move from USC to Ohio State. Of course, you got Ohio State, the brand, one of the most prestigious schools. If you want to talk about blue bloods, USC's in the conversation, just like Ohio State. But things just weren't working out for Neotioti over there at USC. Unfortunately, he did have an ankle injury in 2019. In 2020, he only played two games. He had a concussion, and that was the season that he decided to transfer during. His freshman year, he had some flashes of some good play. 38 tackles as a freshman, 4.5 tackles for loss. Let me get this correctly so I read everything off. Yes. No. Yes. Freshman year, 2018, 38 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. 2019, played in 8 games. He played in 7 games in 2018, his freshman year. 2019, he played in 8 games, had 58 tackles, 3 TFLs, 0 sacks. And then last year, like I mentioned, only played in 2 games due to a concussion, 9 tackles total in those 2 games, 4.5 per game, an average, 0 TFLs, 0 sacks in last season. Neotioti, this is another big move. If this does go through, now, over the weekend we saw, or it was rumored, not rumored, the BuckeyeGrove.com, I keep trying to get all these things mixed up. Buckeye Grove, they were the first to report that Neotioti, he did come up and he was very visible and he was seen in the Ohio State student directory. His email address is there. I would not advise you utilizing that to email him. His email address is there, his major is there, and he is in the student directory. It did also, there was some things over the weekend that Al Washington was very, very excited. You know the hourglass, not it was the hourglass, I don't know. You know when you turn the thing over and it's sand that comes down and it's a timer, and whenever the sand hits the bottom, time runs out. Well, he used that emoji on Twitter and used however you say that thing. He used that on Twitter to show some excitement, saying the time is coming. We just have to wait our time. So that was there over the weekend. You also had the student directory. The Buckeye Grove was the first one to report as far as, hey, he's in the student directory. But then you also saw via his IG story, this is something that I saw from Dan Hope on 11warriors.com that he tweeted out. Naoti Oti was driving from somewhere to Columbus, and he was in Columbus based off a picture from Naoti Oti's Instagram story. And then I believe Naoti Oti also made a picture, or maybe it was Haskell Garrett, one of them two during their story. Remember, like I mentioned earlier, they are cousins. Naoti Oti also was driving, and Haskell Garrett was there. And Haskell Garrett, I believe it was Haskell Garrett's story, he came out and made a comment saying, the young bull is here. All roads, all signs lead to a transfer. The transfer has not been announced yet. At the time of this recording, it has not been announced yet. So maybe by the time you listen, the announcement or the transfer has been announced. But Naoti Oti, 6'2", 250-pound linebacker, who is going to be billed to play, hopefully play. Hopefully he's not just transferring for the school, but he's transferring to play the football. Mike Orwell linebackers. Many of you know we have talked about how the hybrid position, I called it robber or joker linebacker. You go back to the Isaiah Simmons a couple years ago when you saw how he played that position during the shirt Fiesta Bowl, I believe it was that year, the Fiesta Bowl. That's the same kind of position, that kind of rover moving around linebacker type. Mike Jones Jr. from Clemson last year as well. Same type of concept at that position. Naoti Oti is not playing that position. He's not. He is more of your Mike Orwell inside the box. Of course, 250. If you're 250 playing that hybrid, bro, you are an amazing human being. The likelihood of Naoti Oti transferring to Ohio State, it is very likely. It sure looks like it is there. PG the fourth, as I will call him, for going forward, because that's a whole lot easier to say than Naoti Oti, but I got that name down. I'm pretty impressed with myself. And if you have not seen his name written down, the first letter of his last name is not an N or a N. It is a G. Yeah, those foreign names, a little tricky to spell and to say at times. I'm excited for this transfer. He's a third-ranked linebacker transfer via 247 Sports in the portal this year. Number one, Henry To'oto'o, who went to Alabama. Mike Jones Jr., who went from Clemson to LSU. And it sure looks like PG the fourth will be going from USC to Ohio State. Let's step away very, very quickly. When we come back, we will be joined by Mr. Brandon Simberg from BustingBrackets.com to talk about how Junior and E.J. Liddell looked and played during the G League Elite Camp. But first, check this out. How does your favorite restaurant consistently make such delicious food? The short answer, they have access to the right kitchen tools with Made In's professional quality cookware and kitchenware. Anyone is capable of making restaurant quality food at home. If you're serious about cooking, you should invest in your kitchen tools. Made In's cookware and kitchenware products are used by thousands of the world's best chefs. If quality and craftsmanship is important to you, you should check out Made In. Made In is a cookware and kitchenware brand that works with renowned chefs and artisans to produce some of the world's best pots, pans, knives, and wine glasses. Right now, Made In is offering our listeners 15% off your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. This is the best discount available anywhere. Only for Made In products. Go to madeincookware.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON. That is LOCKEDON, all one word, for 15% off your first order. Once again, that's madeincookware.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, he was here. We heard him back during the basketball season, and now he is back with us again during draft combine season. It's Brandon Simberg. He was covering the G League Elite Camp with BustingBrackets.com, and he also is the Illinois beat writer for Daily Illini as well. Brandon, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey Jay, thanks for having me. It's great to be back on, and you know, great to show off a different side and be able to talk about the NBA draft.
Absolutely. it was a couple days, two or three days in elite camp, NBA G League elite camp. Like I mentioned to you, I had no idea that they had something like this. But for EJ Liddell and Dwayne Washington Jr., with their draft stock and where a lot of people are kind of projecting them, I think this was a good way for them to kind of measure how they stack up against other guys that are trying to get into the NBA.
Absolutely. I think both guys were kind of seen as fringe NBA prospects going into this event. You know, both still have eligibility back, so they have the chance to return if they want to. But for these 2 days, they had the chance to show themselves against guys in their range. And I think that Dwayne Washington Jr. really showed some things and really impressed me. And I hate to say I didn't take him super seriously as a prospect prior to this, but he wasn't a guy in my top 80. I just assumed he would for sure come back. And I liked him at Ohio State, but I didn't love him. But he is definitely one of the big winners from the two-day G League Elite Camp.
Let's stick right there with Dwayne Washington Jr. You mentioned a word right there, impressed. What did he do to impress you over the three-day camp?
You know, I knew he could make shots, and I knew he was a tough shot maker, but I just didn't totally buy it after he kind of had some low percentages at Ohio State. And he, you know, as you know, it felt like he was kind of hit or miss this season. Like, he would have games where he was clearly the best player on the floor and he was unguardable. But he also had games where he couldn't kind of find a rhythm. But I think in these 2 days, it hit me that tough shot making is a legitimate skill. And he has pretty good size for a guard too. I was impressed how big he kind of looked next to the other guard. So when you combine his ability to make shots, make plays, and with the size that he has, I think there's a pathway for him to make an NBA rotation.
What day of games or scrimmages stuck out to you the most? I know he had 13 points on Sunday, 18 points on Monday. Of course, the 18 points is going to stick out. But what day did he stick out the most, and what did he do in that day to kind of stick out from from one game or the other?
So I think on Sunday that he was in the first game. And another thing I liked about him that I didn't really know that he had was how vocal he was and how much of a leader he was. He teamed up with Georgia Tech guard Jose Alvarado. And those two in the backcourt was my favorite part of the event. They were talking constantly. They were making good plays on both ends. They were, you know, even when they're on the bench, they were standing up, calling things out. So for me, again, like, I knew he could make shots, but I was really impressed with the kind of leadership that he showed in the first game. And then, like you said, the 18 points in the second game, that was kind of a classic good Dwayne Washington game where he got to his spots, hit some threes. You know, I love the way that – another thing about watching him in person, I love the way he prepares for his shot. Like, it's another thing I didn't really notice in the season, but his hands are always ready, his feet are always ready, and it allows him to get rid of the ball quickly. And so I would say kind of a combination of both, you know, the energy I saw on Sunday and then the shot making I saw on Monday.
Likewise with Junior, I call him Junior. I like nicknames, so the suffix, it just sticks with him here. Liddell was kind of on the fringe, like you mentioned earlier, as well as a draft prospect. What were your expectations for him going into the elite camp?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that I expected Liddell to have the 2 days that Washington had. I was much higher on Liddell going into the event. He was top 45 on my big board. I've written about how I think he could be a sleeper in this draft, and it just wasn't a great showing. I think I'll preface this by saying a lot of what EJ does well is kind of little things, rebounding, good screen setting, a lot of good team stuff. It's hard to kind of optimize that in this scrimmage setting with brand new teammates and a lot of guards and other guys that want to show off their skills to NBA teams, and it's not necessarily a team game. So I knew this context wouldn't be great for him, but he just wasn't super – he wasn't as engaged as I remember him being at Ohio State. He didn't shoot great. He had some good rebounds, but he didn't make a huge impact. And I think that's partially the event, and, you know, he didn't get the ball a ton, but he wasn't as aggressive as I would have liked to see.
The engagement that you said that was lacking in him from what you saw during the season versus how he was during the elite camp, that lack of engagement there, we all saw EJ Liddell during the season really be very, very engaged. And I'm amazed that you're saying that, but also, it could be it's because you're playing with guys that you never played with before, like you mentioned. You're going up against your teammate, because I believe that Junior and Liddell were on the opposite teams at this time. So you're going up against a guy that's your running mate and that knows you very, very well. And I wonder how that engagement will be looked at by NFL draft scouts for teams, draft analysts for teams that are trying to find the best fit for their team, because Liddell's skill set is a little limited, and I don't know how he is going to fit into an NBA team right now based off the way he currently plays.
I think the big thing for me and the big reason I had optimism is because I am a believer in his jump shot. He only shot 33% from three this year, but it's not a guy where he shot 33% and you watch it and you're like, oh, that doesn't look good. Like, he has a pretty good looking shot. You know, he gets elevation. I think he was better at shooting towards the end of the year. So I think for him, his best pathway is to become a close to knockdown 3-point shooter and be able to stretch teams out on offense, and then defense, you know, use his great shot blocking and his instincts and his rebounding. But a lot of that didn't come to fruition this week on defense, and then offensively, again, he struggled to make shots, so that's kind of why he had a down combine.
We're going to end with this thought here. Dwayne Washington Jr. did get an invite to the NBA Combine, which I did highlight earlier. The athletes that excelled will possibly get an invite to the NBA Combine. How do you think, from the performance you saw at the G League Elite Camp, that he'll stack up against the elite of the elite that are trying to really solidify their spot in the NBA draft?
Yeah, so the guys that are going to be playing 5-on-5 in the NBA Combine are definitely a level above. You know, there was a lot of small guards in the G League Elite Camp, and as a former small guard, I have a place in my heart for him, but it's easier to score for Dwayne when he's shooting over smaller guys. So I think the big thing now will be, can Dwayne hit those shots against guys that are more his size and more his length? And that'll be a really good test, because that's what we're going to see at the NBA level. But you know, I think Dwayne has shown that he can hit shots against bigger guards and kind of go on a little run. So the scrimmages are taking place on Thursday and Friday, and if he can continue to hit shots and score the ball and be active, you know, I do think there's an outside shot he gets drafted. So he's got to hit those shots.
Brandon, thanks so much for coming back on the podcast. This has been fun. If you could let everybody know where they can connect with you on Twitter, and then also check out some of your work as well.
Yeah, so definitely follow me on Twitter at Brandon Simberg this week. I'll have a ton of updates regarding the NBA Combine and different numbers and who's looked good in the scrimmages. And then I'll be writing about the NBA Combine over at Busting Brackets. So talk about some of the big winners, big losers, takeaways, things like that. And then you can also see my work at the Daily Illini for my Big Ten fans out there. I write about the Illinois basketball team there, and I wrote about Kofi Coburn earlier today, and I'll be writing about Ayo Dosunmu earlier this week. So definitely a lot of content coming out this week.
Brandon, you're a busy man. This is a great time of year for basketball fans like you and myself. And looking forward to following your tweets, following along as you're covering the Combine this week and reading some of the articles as well. Thank you so much for coming back on Locked On Buckeyes, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. I really appreciate you having me.
Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor as well? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, some of the flavors are coconut and coconut almond, which I highly recommend. Also cherry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and even salted caramel. There's literally a flavor for everyone. Not only does Built Bar have a flavor for everyone, but also Built Bar is tasty and healthy as well. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're also great for that keto diet. Go to builtbar.com and use that promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your first order. Once again, go to builtbar.com and use that promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off at builtbar.com. And as we roll on and wrap up today's episode here of Locked On Buckeyes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. I want to take a few moments to remind you to make sure you subscribe to Locked On Buckeyes, either on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast, the audio version, or subscribe on, and also subscribe on YouTube as well. No matter where you subscribe, comments are welcome on YouTube and via Apple Podcasts. If you're an Apple Podcast user, make sure you give a 5-star rating. It's greatly appreciated. This is an amazing time of year. Right now, for sports fans, you love it. You got the College Softball World Series that just ended. You have the College World Series that is going on right now. The NBA playoffs. We are in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals got tipped off on Sunday. I believe the Eastern Conference Finals get tipped off tomorrow. Well, today, with recording on Tuesday, get tipped off today. And then you also have, I think, the Spring League play football over the weekend. You have IndyCar race. You got NASCAR. You got F1. I mean, you have all of these amazing things going on right now. The NBA is normally not playing this deep into the year. And just like the NBA normally not being this deep into the year, the Olympics are not even supposed to be right now. Last year, based off the Rona and how everybody took place and handled and responded to the Rona, COVID, let's be correct, to the COVID that entered the world about 4 or 5 months after the America started shutting down. COVID had entered the world, and we saw around the country, things are shaking up for a very, very long time. Sports were suspended. The Olympics are pushed back until this year. There was speculation. Would there be the Olympics this year or would there not? Well, the Olympics are going on, will go on right now, and they're planning to have fans in Tokyo for the Olympics this year. Not only will fans be in Tokyo, but a former Buckeye will be there as well. Miss Christina Clemens makes the USA Olympic track team in the 100-meter hurdle. She is also an Ohio State Athletics Hall of Famer as well. Some of you might remember her and know her as Christina Manning. That was what she was formerly known as. Christina Clemens, on Sunday evening, she finished third in the 100-meter hurdles with a time of 12.53 seconds at the Olympic trials, and she punched her ticket. And her trip will happen very, very soon to where she will be an Olympian representing the United States of America in the 100-meter dash. Clemens is one of the all-time track and field greats at the Ohio State University. At Ohio State, she set school records in the 60-meter dash, 7.23 seconds, 60-meter hurdles, 7.91 seconds, and even the 100-meter hurdles as well, 12.68 seconds, 4x100-meter relay, 43.70 seconds, and she was a 2-time NCAA champion, a 10-time Big Ten champion, an 11-time All-American. In her first season as a pro, Clemens ruptured her Achilles, requiring a long road back to competing at the level that she is currently competing at right now. This is amazing. Oh, the 4x1, I wanted to quickly describe that very, very quickly. So if you're familiar with a track, go to your local high school or the high school you went to, the track that's around your football field, that is a track that these men and women will be running around at the Olympic Games and the Olympic trials and all of that jazz. So the 4x100-meter relay, if you divide that track into fours, 1, 2, 3, 4. There is 4 individuals, men for the men, women for the women, that are running around that, and there is a baton that they hand off. That is the 4x100-meter relay. If you want to go to the YouTube, you can hit 4x100 relay. You'll pull up, and you'll see exactly what Miss Clemens did while she was at Ohio State. This is amazing. One of the most exciting things that an individual can do is represent their country in the sport that they played. I've had the privilege of interviewing an individual that represented the US of A in the was it World Games or FIBA Games, U19 level. He was a freshman at Butler University, and then all of a sudden he was on the team. He had a tryout, and he represented his country, his entire country, in the games that he was playing in. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling, and I'm very, very excited, not just for Miss Christina Clemens, formerly, let me get her name correctly, formerly Christina Manning, but also because she has the opportunity, especially coming off of an injury that she suffered, rupturing her Achilles. Oh my, that is pain. It's amazing. I'm excited for her, and I can't wait to see what she does in the Olympic Games this year. Guys, it's Wednesday. One more show left on Friday. Originally, we had planned for Alex Gilstrap to be joining us today. We're going to push that back off until Friday. Got a lot of stuff happening, a lot of exciting things going on, and it's a great time to be a Buckeye. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked on Buckeyes. Like I mentioned, Alex Gilstrap, NFL draft analyst. He does work for NFL Draft Bible as well as one of the voices you will hear on the NFL Draft Prospect podcast. He will be joining us talking about Olave, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, who is a better pro prospect. And I might just hear a little Jeremy Rucker conversation as well.